Slides, please. Oh, it's just starting the recording. Got to be careful getting impatient when someone's doing something I've asked for, don't I? I'd like to talk to you about palms and cloaks. It was interesting, one of our other leaders was reflecting on palms and donkeys this week, but I thought I would reflect on two different things. Or rather, branches and cloaks. What were they on about? Why were they waving branches and laying their cloaks down? And what does that mean for them? And maybe later we might look at what that means for us. Branches and cloaks, of course, they're things that were readily available. But there's lots of things that were readily available. So I'd like to look at one of the uses of branches first. Next slide, please. Branches inside the Hebrew tradition are best known for their use in the Feast of Tabernacles. If I was to run a Feast of Tabernacles here, its best description would be a harvest festival. It happened in the spring. It was the feast you had for the first fruits. It was one of the three big festivals where everyone was expected, if they could, to come into Jerusalem and celebrate it together. And they would come into Jerusalem waving branches, and it was remembering that God was the God who provided through them for them all the way through the desert. So they lived not inside their house. It must be at a lovely time of year. But they'd actually make booths, and they still do. The photo on the far right is actually 2024's Feast of Tabernacles happening, or which happened earlier this year, where they brought their first fruits and said, thank you to God for providing this land, for providing for us, and particularly for providing this beautiful land we live in. And in gratitude to you, we bring you our first fruits, the best of our harvest. So they're celebrating the God who provides. The next slide is a little bit more complex. Their cloak. Not many of us wear cloaks. When I was in Western Australia, I had to get one of these. When you get 40 knot winds blowing for 4 or 5 days in a row, and if you have dogs who want to get walked, you have to get yourself one of these. And that's only a 2/3 length compared to what a biblical cloak would have been. And of course, they didn't have buttons, they had ties. What else do you reckon that would double up as if you didn't have a lot of things? Well, inside Deuteronomy, I've got a couple of quotes, next slide please, from Deuteronomy, rules about what you could take off people who owed you money. And their first rule was you can't steal people's grain mills. You can't take someone's grain mill off them, because if you can't process grain, you can't make flour. If you can't make flour in their culture, you didn't eat. So it was so important to them that you couldn't take an IOU that was someone's grain mill. There was only one other item that had the same status. When you make your neighbour of loan of any kind, you shall not go into the house to take the pledge. You shall wait outside while the person to whom you're making the loan brings the pledge out to you. If the person's poor, you shall not sleep in the garment given to you as the pledge. You shall give the pledge back by sunset, so that your neighbour may sleep in the cloak and bless you, and it will be to your credit, your God. The cloak. The cloak was what you slept in. The cloak, and I've also read some texts that, and we see it in the story of Good Friday, that Jesus' cloak was so valuable that they weren't willing to tear it up and sell it as scraps, but they wanted to keep it as one piece, so they gambled for it. It was the fairest way to maintain this high-value item. One of many disgusting scenes on that day. But what does it mean that these people, truly taking the cloak back, they might have a tunic on, but apart from that, it's underwear. They're taking that and laying it down. And they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God save us. God save us. God save us. Waving the branches that said, this is the God who provides. We're remembering the God who provided for our ancestors and provides for us now through the fruitfulness of the land we share. And they're laying down their cloaks and saying, I want to be part. So I'm not encouraging everyone to take off their shirts and throw it in the aisle. I am distinctly discouraging that. But I think we have that call that in Jesus, God is providing for us. And we are invited to lay down our lives to be part of what God's doing through Jesus. But we'll talk more on that later. But let's hear a prayer. It's relatively easy for us to roster someone to go and gather palm leaves from the front yard to spread in the church today. And we can easily find music and a few good words to help us remember and reenact Palm Sunday. But what if you arrived inviting us to really lay down something important to us, to acknowledge your arrival? What if we knew the imminence of the danger that accompanies you, or sensed that the authorities were watching us as we worship? How then, Jesus, would you meet us? Would we meet you today? And what would we spread before you? And how would we regard humility from the one we hope will save the world? Palm Sunday, Jesus, help us to see how and where you enter our world today and what you ask us to lay at your feet and how we may welcome you in. Amen. And we're going to hear the hymn, the anthem, Olivet to Calvary. now hear our Bible readings. Thanks, Stella.
Today's reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark, verse 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. I realised I forgot a little bit to tell you about a little bit more of my research. Why among all the branches are the palm trees the ones we remember? If you're wandering in the flat desert and you see a palm tree, what does it mean? Good answer. Palm trees were not just for that reason, but they were, again, a symbol of God's providing for you. There's no part of a palm they couldn't use. They could even turn the sap into wine if they were determined. Now, don't recommend anyone try that. But inside that culture, and of course the palms they were talking about were what we'd call a date palm now. The fruit was good. It was a great sign of provision. So we have this wonderful scene. We have this wonderful scene of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, being acclaimed, being praised, being given glory. And we go, "Amen, you are truly worth it." We've heard the call. But then, I don't know about you, but I look at our world. We have this glorious proclamation that the King of Peace has come. And we hear about people enjoying their love of music being slaughtered, even if they're in a nation who we see as an enemy. That is indeed a tragedy. We hear of assaults on markets and villages. We hear of the suffering of people in wars. We hear tales of sadness and sickness and grief. We stand here beside, and thank you, we've been here, didn't it? We sit here beside what was once a beautiful bouquet of life and colour that has faded and gone. Go, God, where is your life? Perhaps we need this phrase more than ever. Hosanna. God, please save us. We love singing it with great energy, but it's saying, we can't do this, God. We can't do this all by ourselves. We need you to save us. Folks, that's not a lack of faith. That is faith in essence, isn't it? Knowing that we don't have everything, that we don't have all the answers, we're not smart enough, we're not talented enough, we're not good enough to muddle through this world all by ourselves. But we need God's forgiveness, we need God's strength, we need God's saving power. Hosanna, God save us. So the donkey. Jesus comes not as the glorious, stereotypical king figure coming to sweep away the damsel in distress, put her on the horse and ride off into the sunset. He comes on the back of a donkey. But as I re-listen to this story, right from the word beginning, Jesus is entering Jerusalem and he says to his disciples, we need a donkey. Don't worry, God will provide. Go, you'll find it here. But then we have the other side, isn't it? They get to the place and someone goes, hey, that's my donkey. Well, that's my boss's donkey. Don't worry, Jesus will return this later. Jesus needs it. And the donkey is offered, is freely given. Maybe not voluntarily, but is freely given and becomes part of the story. And every single person who went out and gathered palms or laid cloak down or raise their voice in praise to God become, do you think any of them would imagine that 2,000 years later we'd be copying them? Maybe they hoped that. But they offered the little they had and God used it to make something far bigger than, well, I'd say definitely far better than they ever would have imagined. And I remember the stories of Scripture. I remember the day Jesus was teaching people beside a lake. And the disciples came up and said, boss, it's getting dark. There's all these people. How are we going to feed them? And Jesus goes, you can do it. You can do it. They go, no. We're far too far from the local bakery. Macca's isn't going to be around for a couple of millennia yet. Send them home to look after themselves. And Jesus said, no, sit them down. And how do you think they would have felt as they walked up to Jesus carrying two little dinner rolls and a few tiny fish? Compared to the need, they must have felt that was completely inadequate. Yet God took, Jesus took that, blessed that, and there was so much food, there was leftovers. ridiculous amounts of leftovers in a true witness to all church catering events from that time forward. We can always feel we have nothing to offer. We can always know our limitations. One of the messages of today for me is, if we try to do it by ourselves, it will never be enough. But when we hand it over to God, it becomes like that seed we spoke about. The seed that when planted grows and becomes something, well, I think I've got what was the illustration of the mustard seed, something bigger than we ever could imagine. So we enter this Holy Week. We come. We remember. We see Jesus offering himself to change the world. We sit in the tension of this day, of the messiness of a real world that doesn't live up to our idealities. And all we can do is say, God, save us. And move on, knowing that in that man on a donkey, God has provided. God does provide. And God always will provide from now to eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and Hosanna. Amen.